You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of February 19th, 2020, and heaven is a game where nothing happens.
I'm George Alport.
My name is Scott Chester.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And let's just chill here for a second, huh?
I'm just gonna chill. I'm gonna vibe, as the kids say.
Oh God, I'm so old. Today we are talking about nothing in a way. We are inspired by an article from Keith Stewart over at The Guardian called "And Relax, the Joy of Video Games Where You Do Almost Nothing." And he talks about a recent game. I haven't played this. This is a game called Coffee Talk, where you play as a coffee shop barista who just chats to clientele.
I feel that's really about it. Just, you know, tangent. I feel like this is a very idealized version of what a barista's life is probably like.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. Like, so in this game, there's not a whole lot of purpose. You talk to people. It's like rainy Seattle. Everyone's drinking coffee. But in real life, if you're a woman, like how many awkward, you know, men are in there trying to ask you out on a date or like being just fucking weird?
How many weirdos asking for the bathroom code are in there? Like
how many people are like mad that they're like triple venti soy almond milk / oat milk, you know, matcha latte isn't hot enough? Like,
yeah.
The number of Karens you've got to deal with, like, come on, dude. That
but the ideal, terrible. The ideal is such that you have this pleasant, calm, almost background-like experience, but you're playing a video game.
I mean, in a way, not unlike the perfect coffee shop experience.
Exactly.
And he goes on to a little bit about some of the other games, like Animal Crossing is a good one, but there's some mobile games he mentions as well. Also narrative games, Doki Doki Literature Club and Had a Full Boyfriend he mentions, but there's a variety of others where part of the joy is not doing really a whole lot of anything. I don't know about you. I feel like I've gotten less patient with these types of games. And I feel like that's a terrible thing to say, but I have been recently playing Kentucky Route Zero.
Yes. Debrief forthcoming.
And I will say, I really think, I'll save it for our debrief. I think the game is fascinating, and I'm really excited to talk about it. But those early hours, man, that first act, and I remembered why I stopped playing it on PC in the first place, the most latest playthrough I played on the Switch, was because it just felt so slow, like having to manually just walk around, you know? Even something as simple as the speed at which people talk, like I can read so much faster. And so if there's like a little crawl, you know, on the speech, I just get frustrated and annoyed. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like too much of a modern day millennial or something. I don't know what my problem is, but I don't know. I feel like it's interesting because we've talked about Zen games in the past, right? We've talked about games like Flower, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's what this article is about. I think there is a difference between, I don't know what you would call it, relaxation games or meandering, maybe like meandering interactive experiences, and something where you're meant to be like actively zoning out, right? And
I think that is like my biggest criticism of the article in general, which is I think this is a topic that is actually deceptively complex, where it's like, oh, you do nothing in this game, but like even looking at the screenshots of this coffee game, there are many things you do in it. I can just see, you know, there are many different selections to pick, there are menu items, there's dialogue items, and so I feel like the idea of mechanically doing nothing often gets conflated with mundane themes, which are not the same thing.
Very good point.
But yeah, I don't know. But I think there might be a correlation, but I think there's we've gone through a number of these games where they have mundane activities, but they're not actually about doing nothing in terms of your interaction. Your fingers are still moving quite a lot, even if you're doing something very boring.
That's a very good point. Yeah. And Valhalla is the bartender game that I remember playing. It's basically the same idea, right? You talk mm-hmm. to people, you make drinks, and there's a few like other interactions. But you're right. Like, that is a management game. I guess the question is the high or low stakes of it, though, right? Like mm-hmm. in a coffee shop game, if you fuck up someone's order, I don't think they're going to attack you, and then you're going to have to get into a quick time event, you know, where you're like throwing espresso shots at each other.
I'm going for assistant manager, though.
That would be sweet, actually.
I mean, I think the I was thinking about some of the other games that are either mentioned or referenced in the article. Sure. Stardew Valley is one.
Yep.
Which
is, to your point, is a game where you're really busy. And in fact, most of my time, it's not relaxing. I'm stressed out about how am I going to most efficiently spend my time on my farm.
I mean, I have not been playing it, but Hannah has been playing it. And whenever I'm sitting there and she's playing it, I can tell because I hear a lot of frantic click, 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 click. And then every once in a while, fuck, click, 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 click. And I'm like, isn't this supposed to be like very like...
I accidentally hoed like the wrong plot of land.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like you're doing something very mundane, but she is highly active while playing it, you know?
Yeah. And you can be highly active and relaxed, right?
Yeah.
Like to my point about games like Flower or Zen games where you are meant to get into the flow of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally fine. You could be relaxed and be playing Stardew Valley. Yeah. I guess the question is, when you're actively playing it, does it feel lower stakes? And if so, does that have like a palpable... does that palpably affect your emotions, or is it like more soothing to you? Mm-hmm. You know, because I think Stardew Valley, I don't necessarily find that. I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a certain level of repetition that I find soothing mm-hmm. with something like Stardew Valley, but I don't know if I would say Coffee Talk and Stardew Valley are necessarily cousins in this regard. Maybe cousins, but not siblings.
Yeah. Well, and it also, I think, gets conflated with the fact that. Going back to the theme, even if there is a conflict in the game, the conflict is not, there's a huge dragon that's going to eat the world. You know, it is a much more grounded conflict that you're having, whether it is a visual novel or whether it's, you know, Stardew or whatever. So I think there is also just kind of a thematic stress that can be introduced if you're in a, you know, save the world type of video game.
Yeah. Yeah. The idea of playing one of these games specifically to just casually spend time in its universe,
mm-hmm.
it's an interesting one because there are games where it feels as though functionally you're doing that same thing, but because of where you're at or what the narrative arc is, it's anything but relaxing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought went to a game like Eliza, which came out last year, mm-hmm. where... you're not a coffee shop, but you are providing psychological help to people. You mm-hmm. know, it's a very light touch game. It's not mechanically arduous. It's narratively driven, but it can also be about like a very mature subject.
Yeah.
And so the type of material that you're interacting with is meant to be more thoughtfully engaging with the themes, which is a very active form of play. Mm-hmm. Versus a more passive form of play where you're not as much engaged with those themes or those themes aren't as high stakes. So in the case, again, I have not played Coffee Talk, but let's imagine Coffee Talk is a game where people are coming in and they're talking about, oh, I went to the store yesterday or I saw the new Disney movie and I really liked it. And like the casual conversation that you and I actually have in coffee shops, right?
Yeah.
Or it could be a version where it's Coffee Talk and it's like, I don't know. It's like the whole fucking cast of Friends is there and they're all annoying and they're yelling over each other and they're talking about like their sexual escapades and arguments between one another. In which case, maybe the themes that you're dealing with are very different, even though mechanically, functionally, it could be the exact same game.
You're talking about Gunther Simulator 2019.
Exactly. Yeah.
I can't believe I made that poll. Come on.
Or, you know, if you're playing a game like Valhalla where you're a bartender, you see all kinds of stories where bartenders act as sort of pseudo therapists for the people that are in the bar. Like, oh, tell me your problems, Jim, you know, and now you're dealing with someone's stressful ass problems.
Right.
That's not really the same thing as you're a bartender. And so you're doing the same casual mundane thing, but it's a quiet night and you're just hanging out with the crowd.
How about the aspect that, that Keith references towards the end about games that are not just thematically soothing or thematically kind of low stakes, but also just mechanically, where you are just buttoning through things, where the biggest thing that is going to happen in the next few minutes is you advancing the text. It sounds kind of like that was what you were describing when you talked about Kentucky Route Zero.
Yeah.
But I think even there, I'm trying to think of the last game that was kind of like that for me. I think Kentucky Route Zero is the first one in a long time where I am just buttoning through because it's engaging, even if it's not high stakes every single minute.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about the Christine Love games. Digital, a love story, analog, a hate story, that type of thing.
Yep.
That felt kind of similar, where it's like it was minimally interactive, but I was still pretty engaged with it.
Yeah. Well, you want to get to the sweet erotic scenes, you know, faster.
Fair.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good call out. I mean, Kentucky Route Zero is an interesting case because, and again, we'll talk about it in the debrief, so I don't want to go too deep into it, but there's an interlude where you spend time in a bar, similar to maybe Coffee Talk, and it is very slow, and the dialogue is delivered very slowly, and you can sort of mash your way through it, but not at the same speed, and it really forces you to sit there and just sort of think.
Right.
And so I can appreciate games that want you to slow down, don't want you to button mash, and sort of force you to think about something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a difficult, I think, process cognitively to get into a game where you're used to move things along to the next important or significant decision marker, and playing a game where you think that decision marker will come and it never does because you're meant to be just in it, you know, and sitting there and pensive.
Yeah. I was thinking about the difference between, when I think about games that where you do almost nothing, I think about games that are, either they are a sandbox world where you can kind of engage as deeply as you want.
Sure.
Or you can just kind of have it on as like a thing in the background while you watch TV or like do something else. And I feel like the visual novel stuff where it might kind of feel like that, where like, oh, I can duck in, read a couple lines here and there. But for me, that actually, it's akin to reading a book. Like, I can't read a book in short bursts. I want to have at least 20 minutes to, like, I'm not going to read one page, go back. Yeah, exactly. And so, like, I kind of treat, in a weird way, Kentucky Route Zero has been, for me, harder to get into because I feel like I need a bigger chunk of time to get in the zone of something like that, even though it is minimally interactive.
100%. I think Kentucky Route Zero demands that.
Yeah.
That type of experience. And it's interesting because I wonder if some of the games that Keith Stewart is talking about here aren't better if you were to commit that time, you know?
Yeah.
Like maybe saying, oh, just, you know, peek in every now and then and check in. Like, maybe that's not at all what the developers want you to do. You know, like, what if you're missing something really critical or important about the themes they want you to understand and you're just sort of mashing buttons, right?
Right.
If you were to do that with Eliza, because you're like, oh, this is a simple game, I'm just not going to worry about it, then you're going to miss out on something, you know?
Right.
Or like Her Story, you know?
Yep.
Where that could be a very casual game, type in a couple words, watch some cutscenes. You know, you could treat it like Netflix. But if you come and go, if you don't commit to thinking things through or mapping it out, you're really setting aside a large chunk of it, which is fine. I mean, maybe you just want to experience that calm thing and, you know, you do you, my friend. But I do wonder if there are games that hide depth with the simple wrapper and we sort of don't do them justice by saying the sort of short visit, chill times to play kind of thing.
I feel like the games where Because I do appreciate the theme of this game. You know, nothing is happening in this game in such that, you know, Kratos isn't yelling at me about his revenge plot or something. I mean, you know, yeah. there is kind of a nice respite to the life and death struggles of many, you know, large traditional games. But I feel like I have become more oriented towards the open sandbox model versus the short and sweet, almost visual novel type of thing where mm-hmm. I was thinking about, I mean, I haven't played it yet, but Keita Takahashi's new game came out late last year.
And Watam?
Watam, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it made me think a lot about Nobi Nobi Boy.
Yeah.
Where that game, I mean, that game is, nothing happens in that game except for the stuff that you make happen, but it still is meaningless in the end. But it's still endlessly fascinating to me where it's like, okay, I'm going to break myself in two, eat my own ass, and then poop it out so I have it again. And then, like, who cares? You know, nothing. That means nothing. It did nothing. It had no impact in anything. But it had that sort of that zen-like relaxing of like, okay, this is a game that is... You're exploring a space, but the stakes are pretty low, but it's still very mentally engaging as you're going through it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's a good example, right? Because let's use the coffee shop analogy again. I might enjoy sitting in a coffee shop, but rather than talking to the barista, I'm just like playing with Legos or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Like something really mundane, or I'm fiddling with something, and that itself is being able to sort of relax and push things out of my mind. What I will say that I thought was interesting. So earlier today, we've been doing like these like group exercises at work, and we wrapped today's group exercise with just a short 2 minutes of meditation.
Which, nice!
You know, hey, it's the
Bay
Area, baby.
2 minutes of peace and quiet.
And it, you know, the act of practicing mindfulness is one that I think a lot of people find rewarding, but sometimes it does require you to do so with a lot of intention, you know, like in order, it almost like, it's like, it takes an effort to really be focused on the small mundane things and push things out of the way.
Yep.
And I think something like Coffee Talk or something like the games where you are paying a little bit of attention and you're doing something mundane and low stakes, but it is actively requiring your attention and is directed. Like there, you know, if someone's having a conversation with you and you need to mix a drink that will satisfy their demands and you need to base that drink off of what they're saying or something, then you need to be paying attention. But it doesn't mean that you need to be paying attention to this like high stakes, high stressful thing. And so in that case, maybe these types of games have a space in encouraging you to be attentive to your relaxation in a way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, again, you know, our Bay Area-ness is showing through here. But I mean, that's the whole point, right? It takes to truly be mindful. It is intentional inherently.
Yep.
Or else you're not actually investigating and analyzing your thought process. You're daydreaming. I thought about that a lot in our gamiest/goatiest game of the year last year, Death Stranding, because there were so many times where you were doing relatively basic things like, I need to walk up this hill.
Yep.
But you need to be so mindful about how you do it. I mean, this is the route I'm going to take. I'm going to deliberately look at the terrain. I'm going to make sure that my inventory is... It was just... But, I mean, the whole point was that it was so... I mean, nothing was happening. I was walking up a damn hill, but I had to think about it so much to really do it correctly.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is a game about nothing, but also it's highly engaging at the same time, which is something that I feel like people kind of miss out on every once in a while.
Oh, I love that example. That's a great example. I mean, the other thing that reminds me of is, you know, there are those times on road trips when you're driving for long hours.
Yep.
And that can be relaxing, even though, you know, you have to pay attention to the road. You're doing something. And maybe you're checking the map and you're confirming where you're at. And there's like all of these little steps that you take to get from point A to point B.
Yep.
And in Death Stranding, there are those moments when you're just spending time mapping out what you think is going to be the route you take.
Yep.
And if you encounter an obstacle that you think is insurmountable or the weather changes and you want to go around, you suddenly have to stop and think and sort of readjust, and maybe you bring out the map again and you remap something different, and you're sort of putting in work to actively lower the stakes, make things yep. easier on yourself. But that itself, like that act of putting it all together and moving the pieces into the right spot, is really satisfying, you know?
Where do you think multiplayer games fit into this equation?
Ooh, good question. You know, we were just talking before the podcast about how interesting it would be to do Stardew Valley multiplayer.
Yeah.
For no other reason, just to have someone help me fucking harvest my tomatoes or whatever.
Hold this bag!
Yeah, before I pass out at like 10 p.m. like a freaking rural knave that I am. That's a really good question. I don't know. I mean, it feels like, based upon my 2 minutes of mindfulness today, there is something inherently solitary about zoning out, you know, because you're sort of meant to lose the reality that someone else is there. That's a little bit different with something like Coffee Talk, though, where you're talking with someone. So, I mean, maybe there's space for it where there are these like low stakes back and forths, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I don't, maybe another good example would be like, again, I feel like a stretch here because I'm going to be naming some games that are anything but calm and relaxing, but Overcooked or Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time.
Right.
Where you have these discrete roles, and when I'm not, Overcooked maybe is the worst example ever for this, but in those moments when I'm not busy because my role is complete and someone else is taking over or someone else is accomplishing the next part of that task, I think there's a certain level of relaxation that you can experience there that is necessitated, or rather created by the ability to sort of hand off a burden to someone else. You know? Do you remember there for a while there was a game a long time ago? It was an indie multiplayer game about building like empathy. And there was two people. There was like a character at the top screen and a character on the bottom screen. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't do certain things on their bottom screen or the top screen without the other person interacting, but they also couldn't communicate. And so you had to sort of voice via symbols and like little chitters what you intended the person on the other end to do. There wasn't direct communication. And it's a really, I forget what it's called, which is a shame, but it's a very interesting example where you try to communicate and you try to be frantic and make, you know, understanding. And then once you think you got through to them and they start acting, you just sort of wait for them to do the thing. And there's a cycle of satisfaction of learning how to communicate and getting better at it that I think multiplayer games could create, but maybe a whole lot of them don't often try.
Oh, I think about folks who have played the same multiplayer game for many, many years, whether it's League or even World of Warcraft or, I mean, even to a certain extent, something like Destiny or something where you do these tasks that maybe started off as, oh my God, it feels like everything is happening right now. But if you run now the raid two or three more times, it's oh, this is actually now this crazy raid on Venus is now going to my local coffee shop and hanging out with my friends because that's what we do on Thursday. You know,
that's
you have
what
this,
farming
like,
is in multiplayer games, right? Like when you
are exactly
at a point where it's like Monster Hunter World is maybe a great example. Any of the Monster Hunter games where it's just rote, you know, like you and your friends have defeated whatever Borobigmos like a million times.
Right.
And it's just time to go again, you know?
And it's kind of, it's in a similar way to some of these lower fi or visual novel type games. It's now, it doesn't feel dramatic anymore, but stuff is still happening. You know, there's still a story about you going after this beast, or there's still interaction between you and your friends who are playing at the same time, but it doesn't feel like you have to be mentally and emotionally exhausted by the active story that's happening. Like you are in there just to kind of appreciate the process versus have to react to it.
Yeah. I also think there's something to say for even games that are multiplayer like that, like World of Warcraft or Farming Mats, for example, where it does require a low stakes change up, though, right? Because there's a difference between saying, let's run a raid, and you've done it so many times that those early parts are mundane. But when you get to that last boss in the raid that requires you to pay attention and work together, you better be on fucking point. Because what you don't want to do is feel like you wasted the time of other people. And I think any time that you're engaged in a multiplayer experience, even if it's sort of rinse, wash, repeat, there is a sort of social obligation on you now that just inherently raises the stakes.
I mean, maybe that is something that almost disqualifies multiplayer games inherently, because at the back of your mind somewhere there is another person whose time is being impacted by whatever you're doing.
What I would say, and I hate to bring it up again, but I think Dark Souls and Bloodborne are games where I've played them so many times that when I'm in multiplayer, it's so low stakes. It's like the game is not almost even real, you know, like I've played so many times and I know that death is just part of it. You know, I might lose 50,000 souls, but who cares? Because I've lost way more than that in the past. And I can actively choose to lower the stakes. And if I'm playing with like you, or if I'm playing with Nate or something, then I know that at the end of the day, the stakes are relatively low, because if we die, that's part of it. You know, that's part of the joy of it. And it's interesting because I think it's very rare for multiplayer games to be low stakes.
Yes.
I think one of the ways that we drive interest in multiplayer games is by saying, we're going to increase the stakes. We're going to reward you to play together, and we're going to make it so that you have to work together to accomplish this goal. And that's great. There's a time and a place for that. But for the purposes of games that relax or are mundane, how do you actively lower the stakes in a multiplayer game and still keep people interested?
Yeah. I mean, then it feels like you really are just relying on the strength of someone's outside social network, where if you do this because you just want to have, if it is a glorified chat room where we're doing something that is relaxing but somewhat active, but we mainly do it because we only talk to each other once a week or once every couple weeks, then
like Minecraft is a good example.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great example where you could be, it could be super high impact if you're building something intense, or if you're playing survival mode or whatever, but it could also just be an engaging yet relaxing low stakes sandbox that you use as a social space versus a challenge, a mechanical challenge space.
Yeah. See, now I'm fascinated about like what this game would look like, what any game would look like that tries this. Like, what is Coffee Talk where one person is the barista and the other one is like your manager? Who's like, Scott, you're not putting in enough work and making enough coffee and stuff.
You're going to have to come in on Saturday night. What?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other problem with the barista fiction, right? Is like there's the actual real realities of needing to make a living wage.
Where does Cookie Clicker fit in here? Where does almost 100% passive gaming fit in here, if at all?
I don't know, man. Like, there's a part of me that just thinks that they're just flagrantly unethical.
Burn that shit to the ground.
Yeah, because look, if you have to drown things out, I just think that there's healthier ways of doing that. You know, like go into the woods, learn how to meditate, like practice mindfulness, like, you know, having to. There's a difference between doing something repetitive and mundane, like, say, knitting, right? Because it's calming and relaxing and you can do it with your hands and it's sort of a fidgety, repetitious act you can do. And it's a whole nother thing to be ticking the boxes in your brain that respond to positive reinforcement in the same way that slot machines do, right?
There's an end point to knitting, whereas there's not to a slot machine, you know?
Right, and something like Cookie Clicker, I think, is just on the other side of that ethical divide, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah. Because then it's like you're not, it's not nothing that's happening. It's just, it's a negative, which is you're just spending time. And there's not really much that you're getting out of it other than the number going up. But to what end, I guess, is that's where like the ethical point comes in.
So before we wrap up, what do you think is the most relaxing game you've played in, say, the last like 5 years?
I mean, this is gonna be pretty predictable, but I actually think Breath of the Wild is very relaxing. I can't remember any other recent game where I have just booted it up without a goal in mind.
Yep.
sometimes it's like, oh, I'm going to walk over to the Alcala region and see what's over there. I mean, that's to me, and I can do that if I'm watching TV or if I'm doing something else. So it just feels like I'm just engaged enough that it actually does feel like going for a walk where you can be thinking about something, but also enjoying the journey that you're on, even though nothing's really happening. That has been probably the most recent example.
Yeah. I think that there's two games that come to mind when I think about like a relaxing game I've played in the past. Like, I don't know. I mean, there's always things like Dark Souls and stuff, but
yeah.
Did you ever play Gorogoa? It came out on the Switch, but it was also a mobile game.
Mm-hmm.
That game was really
I remember
chill.
It, but I never really spent much time with it, but I liked it.
It's like a slide puzzle game with art, and you just sort of like walk around. It's very, very satisfying from a relaxing perspective. And then the other one I was thinking of, because I played it on the airplane for the millionth time, is Sayonara Wild Hearts.
And
The music is not relaxing because it's like, right. You know, like, but in terms of just zoning out and chilling out and like listening to like sweet beats, it's very satisfying to just play along with that musical routine.
Well, and I think it becomes a routine because it is short enough that you can internalize it like a musical album. It's there's themes throughout it that call back to each other. So it can become more of a habit. Yeah, it's interesting. I am looking forward to getting through the rest of Kentucky and seeing seeing how that strikes me, because it is the type of game that is being described in this article. And I nodded off when I was playing Kentucky Route Zero the other day on the train, because it was just there wasn't a lot of interaction.
Boring.
And I was like, man, this is weird. Can I just not pay attention anymore? But then I realized, no, I can still read books. I'm okay. It's the children who are wrong. I think maybe part of it too is just a muscle of getting back into that sort of thing. And I'm hoping that game will be a good test of that.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, we will leave it there for now. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our website. Relax with us, huh? Hang out. Listen
chill.
To an old podcast. Just chill.
Yeah, you gotta bring your own coffee, though. What do we look like?
Definitely bring your own coffee. We don't make that shit. Come on by, bring your friends. Find us wherever you find podcasts.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Out. Every time we